You're now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Welcome, everybody. Sit back and have some fun. We're here. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Okay, we had a little glitch there. I hope you understand. You're welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, broadcasting straight out of Chicago, Illinois. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the show. My guest today is author and advocate Jaya Camilleni on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and it's great. It's fun. It's beautiful. As you can tell, the days are starting to get longer. I mean, daylight savings time is around the corner. Man, I can't wait. I can't wait for the actual daylight saving times where it will not get dark, at least not in Chicago, until maybe between 8 and 8:30 p.m. Okay? So the days are starting to last longer. That's fun. That's a sign that not only spring is coming, but following close behind will be summer. And that's going to be great. I had a great time last summer. It was beautiful. Anytime you can get out there and enjoy great, great and wonderful weather, get out there and do it no matter what your age. Enjoy the summer. Enjoy what nature brings. I mean, the polar vortex, we can all avoid those things. But summer, spring, summer, get out there and enjoy the weather. We don't know how long we got left. How long we have left in this life, so we want to enjoy it the best way we can. Sometimes we can just get out there and take a 15 or 30 minute walk out there in the beautiful sunshine. It's even in Chicago, there's no guarantee that you're going to get gunned down. It's beautiful. Enjoy the weather because it's coming. Daylight saving time is on its way, and that is so beautiful, everybody. So beautiful. And, I'm going to be out there enjoying it because I am a weather person. I never did like winter. I've talked about this in previous shows. I always thought winter was just, you know, I hated it. I mean, and people said, why, if you hate winter, why do you still stay in Chicago? I don't know, because Chicago is my home. I've been here for so damn long, and I can't see myself leaving at some point. I can't, you know, I mean, hey, well, I might as well die here. You know what I'm saying? But I don't like cold weather. There's a lot of people who live in Chicago do not like it. But we stay here because we love the city. We love the town. We don't want to give up on it. We don't want to give up on our beloved city. And I don't think anybody should give up on any town that they live in, especially if they love it because of the weather. I mean, see, I believe it's today, which is Tuesday. In case you're podcasting or downloading this show, listening to it at a later time, this is Tuesday. February the 23rd, okay, 2016. This year is already 2 months behind. I mean, we're 2 months ahead in this year. It's going pretty fast. I think 2015, 2014, 2013, those 3 years have gone zipped on by. It's just crazy. Another year, another birthday. Birthday I don't care to announce because it's just that way. Okay, it's about 40 degrees in Chicago. I mean, it's not quite winter weather. It's not quite spring weather. But we'll take it, especially at the last end of February. So thank you for being on the George Wilder Jr. Show, tuning in, what I'm trying to say. And hopefully it'll be a great, 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 great show once again.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr. And here he is.
Here I am. All right. We may be having some audio volume problems. We're trying to get these things straight. Okay, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Later on, hopefully, we're going to have Advocate Jaya Camilleri on the show, if I can pronounce her name. I hope she don't jump on me for mispronouncing her name. But we are basically a news and commentary show. And we're going to have some news and commentary. All righty. Okay, so Donald Trump is out there again, and he's saying, I mean, this guy is going to win the presidential nomination for the Republicans. There's no doubt about that. I mean, anybody who's anybody would know that this is going to happen. I wouldn't vote for him. You know, I'm still a Bernie Sanders guy, but somehow I'm having cold feet on Bernie Sanders because I really don't think he's going to make it. It doesn't matter. Whether it's Bernie Sanders, in my mind, whether it's Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton, we have to get a Democrat in the White House, and we have to have a Democratic Senate. We have to have a Democratic House of Representatives if we're going to get anything moving in this country, There are so many people who are now criticizing and saying things about Barack Obama. And there are some people actually calling Barack Obama a great president. I can't go that far. I really cannot go that far. And I will tell you later to why I can't go that far. All right. The Nation of Islam, Muslims, black Muslims, the Nation of Islam offers to be Beyonce's security. Oh, yeah. The police department around the United States is saying that they are going to be boycotting Beyonce's upcoming tour. I'm thinking Tour of America or whatever. They're not going to be at a tour because of her Super Bowl antics. She criticized police during her Super Bowl antics, and now the police, they're pissed off at her, and they're talking about boycotting her upcoming tour. And now the Nation of Islam is stepping in. Louis Farrakhan, the great Louis Farrakhan, he was one of the guys who had Malcolm X allegedly assassinated. I think he mentioned it himself at one point in time. Allegedly, okay. Don't get me wrong. It's been said. It's been written. I'm just going by what I've been told and what I've been what I've written. Okay, the Nation of Islam is going to be offering Beyonce security. Okay, all right. One of the things I know about the Nation of Islam, black Muslims, they are some bad dudes. Okay, it says here that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is offering Beyonce Knowles security from the Nation of Islam for her upcoming world tour. Okay, get me straight. On Sunday, during his keynote address at the Nation of Islam Savior's Day event in Detroit, Farrakhan responded to the mass backlash from police unions, which have threatened to boycott Bayes Foundation's world tour, Beyonce's, after deeming her Super Bowl halftime performance as divisive. Okay? All right. And I'm quoting him here now. You're going to picket. You're not going to offer her police protection, but the FOI will. Farrakhan said to those in the audience, you know, so the Nation of Islam has her back. But I actually think that the police are going to give her protection. I really do. I mean, you take away police protection from Beyonce's her wars tour. I mean, it's fair game. They can't do that. I don't see how they can do that. They're paid. They are paid. The police officers around the United States are paid to serve and protect. they have a duty to do that, okay? All right, she started talking all that black stuff, you know, and white folks were like, we don't know how to deal with that, you know. So, well, you taught us everywhere we went about the Holocaust. But I'm quoting Farrakhan, but we had sympathy for you. But when one of us shows some independence, and I'm still quoting, look at how you're treating Beyonce now. Beyonce now. Beyonce is having fun with this. I'm pretty sure she's having a lot of fun with this. But there's no way they cannot deny her protection for her world tour. That's just not going to happen. Beyonce is so damn rich, she can afford her own police department. You know, so, you know, and that will give them a black eye. She is so rich. I mean, she's got money coming out of everywhere. So this should be no-brainer for her and for the police department. And I'm on Beyonce's side, actually. Sometimes the police can use some criticism, especially in Chicago. How many times you've seen videos of these guys, these policemen, shooting black youth, African-American youth in the back as they're running away from the cops? You know, so I think she had a right to do what she did. You know, so, but if they want to boycott her, I just don't understand that. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, broadcasting live out of Chicago. We're waiting on my guest, author and advocate, Jaya Camilleni. That should be interesting. That should be fun, actually. It should be fun. 347-857-1762. If you want to dial in and ask her a question, say a few things to her, that's fine. That's cool. That's okay. But most people just sit back, relax, and listen to the show, podcast it. If you can't sit down and listen to it live, listen to it later. That's what this show is all about, you listening to it anytime at your convenience. At your convenience, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back. Stay with me, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with me.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the show, friends, fans, and just supporters and followers to the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, we're going to be talking about, I'm going to play a clip whereas we have 10 tips to sell books. Everybody's trying to sell books. Even myself, we're trying to sell books, and we're going to have 10 tips to sell books. It's going to be about a 5-minute clip, so hang in there. And if you're a writer, if you know a writer, if you know published people, have them listen to this segment of the show to find out how to sell their books. We all want to know how to sell our books, and we all want to know how to get as many positive and honest interviews, reviews of our books as possible. All right, here we go. 10 tips on how to sell more books.
Hey, everybody. This is Lisa Orrell, the Promote You Guru. You can learn more about me by reading my little bio right down there somewhere on my channel page. You'll have to forgive me for the casualness of my attire. No makeup, no hair done, just a ponytail and a visor because it is a very warm, hot, sunny day here in San Jose, California. And after I'm done with this short how-to video, I am going in the backyard, jumping in the pool, and firing up the barbecue. So, that's just the way I'm rolling today. Here we go. 10 tips on how you can sell your book or sell more of your books on Amazon, whether you're a self-published author or whether you're a traditionally published author. Doesn't matter, as long as your book's on Amazon, these tips will help you, okay? Some of these tips I did glean from a great book that I highly recommend, written by Brent Sampson, and there you go. Let me get over here a little bit more. How to sell more books on Amazon. I highly recommend picking that up. The tips I'm going to go through, the 10 tips, are going to be very quickly. I'm not going to give you the ins and outs of the hows and whys. That's why something like Brent's book was created. He gives you all those details, or you can just research them on your own. But I'm just going to make you aware of a couple of these things so that you can potentially implement them and go for it. And I will tell you that quite a few of these tips I have shared with my author clients who I help handle the PR, publicity, and marketing strategies for, and they have found a definite uptick in their book sales. And I personally, with the books I've written, have seen them as well. So they work. Okay, let's go. Tip number one, start an Amazon Connect account. Again, look into Amazon and check out the Amazon Connect account feature. Number two, definitely create an author profile page, okay? Again, a lot of people just go and put their book on Amazon to sell it, and they don't use the other bells and whistles that Amazon has to offer. Again, one of them being the author profile page. Make sure you set one up for yourself. On your author profile page, make sure that you upload a professional photo, and in the caption under that photo, you can state your name, your title, your book title, links to your website, all that fun stuff, your contact info, as well as set up your email signature for any postings that you do within Amazon, like if you write a book review for someone else, it will show up and that helps cross-promote you, okay? Number four, tip number four. Complete the About Me info on the author profile page. The reason for that is that you get to load it with a bunch of keywords and phrases that show up in search results, okay? Kind of like having a LinkedIn profile. The more information you put on your profile, the better the chances are that you and your book are going to get found. Number five, Amazon offers a feature called the So You'd Like To Guides. Again, they're called the So You'd Like To Guides. They're like little mini ebooks. You can write those on basic topics in and around your expertise and your book. They will help drive traffic to your book page on Amazon. Number six, make sure that you implement the Search Inside feature that Amazon offers. That enables people to look at your table of contents, perhaps read your intro, and maybe even see a sample of of one of your chapters. So make sure that you implement the Search Inside feature. It's a very, very powerful tool, okay? Number seven, I want you to check out Amapedia. It's like Wikipedia, but it's Amapedia, and that is Amazon's internal wiki. So you can start your own posts and topics about things around your book and topics of your area of expertise and show up in the Amapedia, A-M-A-P-E-D-I-A, right? Again, like Wikipedia, and that will help drive traffic to your book page as well, okay? Number eight, tip number eight, is write as many book reviews for other people as you can, and especially make sure that you do them for your competitors, anybody who's written a book that's similar to yours. And I'm not saying go on there and trash them and write a bad review, even if their book was great. This is not about going in and sabotaging your competition. It's every time you write a book review for someone, your name, your book title, a link to your book page, and your basically like e-signature will show up with information about you. Keeping in mind one important thing, if someone was interested enough to go to their book page and potentially buy their book, it means they're interested in the same topic matter that you wrote about. So write as many book reviews as you possibly can, and possibly they will turn around and do the same thing for you. It also helps with traffic building, okay? Number nine, use the tag this product feature on your book's detail page. Again, I'm not going to get into the ins and outs of all this stuff, but make sure you look into the tag this product feature, okay? Last one, number 10, look into Amazon's list Mania feature. It's where you can create lists of books that you like and always including your book in there at some point. I won't go into all the details about it, but again, look into the List Mania feature because it will help drive traffic to your book page and could potentially get a lot more buyers for you, and people will be looking at the books you list, and if you've listed them on your List Mania list, some of them might turn around and list you on their List Mania list, and it keeps going and going and going. So again, those are quick 10 tips on how you can potentially sell more of your books on Amazon. I hope you found them very, very helpful. I know that I have. So time for me to go jump in the pool and fire up the barbecue. Enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers, and happy marketing. Bye-bye.
All right. That's 10 tips on how to sell more books, e-books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever. If you know someone who has published a book or who needs reviews, tell them to tune into this show and they'll get everything they want in terms of how to be a successful writer. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We're out of Chicago and it is great. It is wonderful. And they're also talking about Bernie Sanders' age. They say he's too old. You know, I think Bernie Sanders to me is a hero to all seniors. I mean, I think that's totally true. If you're a senior, then you should be voting for Sanders because he is what, your peer? I'm not saying vote for him if just because he's 75 years old. Vote for him because he's vigorous. You know, when you hear about older people, you hear about dementia, Alzheimer's. You know, stuff like that. You hear negative things. Bernie Sanders provides that spark for older Americans to get up off the couch. You can still do it. I mean, President Obama had a 106-year-old woman at the White House. I mean, she was vigorous. She was strong. She had her mind. She wasn't in a wheelchair. She was dancing. 106. So if somebody's up there in age, don't count them out. Do not count them out. They are still around. They may not do the things that they used to do when they were young. They may not look as cute or as handsome as they were when they were young, but that's to be expected with age. I've said this a million times on my show. You don't get to be 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 106 without doing something right in your life. You got to do something right in your life to get that age. If you become sick at 50, sick at 60, there was something probably, it might have been something you've done in your youth. Because a lot of times if you're doing a lot of the wrong things in your youth, smoking, drugging, alcohol, you know, things like that, it's going to tell on you as you get older. You know, so, and a lot of times I'm finding out that a lot of these old people who live to be 80, 90, and over 100 years old, they didn't give a damn about exercise. They didn't give a damn about eating right. Some of them would tell you. Then I've had interviews with some older Americans. I say, how did you get to be 90 like this? Well, positive, doing positive things, keeping the negative people out of your life. Only have people around you who's going to support you. You know, and that I agree with that. The first thing anybody should do if you want a great life, a wonderful life, get rid of the people who are not supportive. Get rid of the people who are there to bring you down. They don't want to see you get anywhere because their lives have been screwed up. I've said this many times and I've written about this. If some of those people had something going on interesting in their lives, they would not be too busy trying to ruin and screw up your life. Most of the people out there who are trying to screw you up, mess your life up, downgrade you, belittle you, telling you what you're doing is a hobby or it doesn't mean much, Those people haven't got anything going for themselves. They are failures, so they want you to be a failure. One of the things to living long or longevity, get the negativity out of your life. Push those people to the side and you keep on going and you will see how successful you will be or you can be. All right, you're listening to my tongue got tied there, folks. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, respecting advocate and author Jaya Kalimini, if I can pronounce her name, on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Stay tuned for that, all right? Stay tuned for that. We're going to be right back, folks. All right, the Republicans, updates on the Nevada Republican caucuses. It seems like Donald Trump is going to run away with this, folks. It seems like he's going to run away. Let's see what it's got here. The Nevada Republican caucus is the next step in the GOP primary race. The caucuses will begin at 5 p.m. PMS and could Pacific Standard Time and could last until 9 p.m. Five candidates are left in the GOP primary race. Businessman Donald Trump, Senator Ted Cruz, Ohio Governor John Kasich, Senator Marco Rubio, and retired. You wouldn't think Ben Carson was retired. Neurosurgeon Ben Carson. A lot of us are saying, why is Ben Carson still in the race? He's way behind in single digits. I think what Ben Carson is looking for, and this is just my opinion, I think he's looking to be on the stage, on center stage, as long as there is a center stage. And it's not going to be that long for him because they're going to force him off, just like they did Carly Fiorina and Jeb Bush. They're going to force him off. But I admire him. He made a controversial statement saying that Obama doesn't really know anything about the black experience because Obama was raised by white parents. He may have something there. But anyway, we're having this Nevada Republican caucus tonight, and everybody is saying that Donald Trump is going to be a runaway winner. This will be, if he wins this caucus tonight, it will be his third caucus tonight. And after that, he will be a clear front runner. Listen to this, folks. The Republicans, as you may know, they don't want Donald Trump to win. The Republicans, they don't like him. They can't stand him, but they cannot stop him. The momentum is just too strong. So it's going to be interesting tonight. I'm thinking all the polls are saying that he's going to take this, and I believe he's going to take it. You know, and I'm pretty sure a lot of the people out there is going to take it. But remember this, folks. We could have a President Trump. It could happen. It could happen. Let's hope it doesn't. Let's pray it doesn't, because this man is not presidential. But I'm more comfortable with Donald Trump than I am of Ted Cruz. I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter. I want to see Bernie Sanders, but I don't know if he can stave off the momentum of Hillary Clinton. It doesn't matter. I've said this 1,000 times. It doesn't matter if it's Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. We have to get a Democrat into the White House November 2016. We have to do that, and then we have to give them some people to work with. We got to give them a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House of Representatives in the U.S. Congress. That has to happen. Or if we get a Republican in there in 2016, and if it's Donald Trump, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. Remember, Donald Trump is a Republican. He used to be a Democrat. A lot of conservatives are saying that he still is a Democrat. He's not conservative enough. But I'd rather have Donald Trump in the president's office than Ted Cruz or any of those other clowns. The Republicans as a whole are really, really, these guys are ridiculous. What can I say? You got Mitch McConnell up there saying he's going to Obama from nominating a Supreme Court justice. These people are going to get in the way when it's Obama's constitutional right to nominate a Supreme Court justice to fill that vacant seat left by Scalia. It's crazy. These people are nuts. What can I say? All right, we're going to take a break right here. You listen to the George Wilder Jr. Show out of Chicago. It is great. Like I said before at the beginning of the show, it is daylight savings time. People's days are starting to last longer. The weather's getting better. Get out there and enjoy the weather. Get out there and enjoy. That will be right back, folks.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go to the phone lines. All righty, here we go. You're on the air. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Hi, George. This is Jaya Kamlani. Good evening to you and to your listeners.
I knew it was you. Right, right. Good evening to you. And I'm so happy to have you here. I really am. I think this is your second or third time on the show.
Third time. Third time. You've gotten accustomed to my voice.
Oh, you can come on this show anytime you want. Hey, congratulations. I mean, I wanted to say this in person for so long. Congratulations to you. I think you are a marvelous I think you are a gem at what you do. And I want to say congratulations to you. And I want you to tell me all about the ceremonies and all about the awards and all about your books. All right, it's on you. Okay.
So let me tell you that when I received a message from a person who was nominating me, saying that she was going to nominate me for the Hindratan Award, I thought it was a joke. But I told her, go ahead and submit me, because I didn't think I was going to win. You know, there are always so many nominees who are selected. So she did submit my name, and then a couple of weeks later, I received an official letter from Delhi, India, saying that I was selected for the Hindratan Award, which is called the Jewel of India. And I thought, wow, you know, I couldn't take it.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting any award from the government of India or any of those official organizations, especially since my book, To India with Love, was about the issues of India, you know, where they had to bring change in so many different areas. So it was a little bit critical, but it was well-balanced. So I was not expecting any award.
Were you nervous?
So what happened is then after I received that confirmation, somebody else said they wanted to nominate me for the Bharat Samman Award, which is Pride of India. And so I thought, oh, my gosh, this must be a hoax now. This is a hoax going around. How can I get two awards from India? One was too much, and now two is, like, unbelievable. So, but I said, go ahead and submit it, because these were from women who, one was a lawyer from California, and the other one was from Harvard University. So I thought, go ahead and submit it. And when that confirmation came through, I couldn't believe it, you know. And I thought, I don't know what I had done so wonderful in life that, you know, it has come true. Perhaps it has registered with them that because I care for India, that's why I wrote the book.
Yeah.
You know, when you love somebody, that's why I called it Tough Love book.
Yes.
Because when you love somebody, you love the country, you love the people, you don't want them to go off the path. You want them to come back on their path. And so when I went there, I arrived 3 days in Delhi, 3 days after the terrorist attack. So Delhi was on the highest alert, and that is the capital city of India. So, you know, like you couldn't go out much without, you know, running into cops and all everywhere, even at the markets and malls. But then, so what happened is then again, this then they discovered that it was done by the attacks at an airbase in the neighboring state of Punjab. Was this thing instigated by Pakistan's army. So Pakistan's army was blamed for the attack. And then all month of January, ISIS had also threatened to disrupt the city by bombing the malls in Delhi and also disrupting the Republic Day parade. And President Holland of France was going to attend the parade. And we were all invited, the awardees were invited, but at the last minute that was cancelled because it was too dangerous for us to attend. So they cancelled the awardees from attending. We were supposed to be special guests at the event. Anyway, so I received my awards and I did post the photographs on Facebook. And you saw them, yes, and I had to put on my saris, of course. I couldn't go in my Western clothes, you know, so it had to be in saris. And I met wonderful people, you know, we just had a lovely time. But part of the programs were cancelled, the first event, you know, because it was so close after the, close to the terrorist attack that they cancelled part of the government program. So 1.5 day program was cut down and only we had an evening event. So, but anyway, I got my award. That's the main thing, you know. And I hate to see a country like that in crisis, where everybody has been going through it all over the world, taking turns. Yeah. You know, so that's sad. So go ahead.
And,
ask me any other questions.
I just want to say congratulations. And,
thank you.
And I'm pretty sure you've been getting that all over wherever you go, wherever you speak. And I know you've been doing other shows. You've been doing other interviews. So I just want to go ahead.
You know what? I'll tell you, they give awards to little older people because they know it doesn't get to their head. So ask me where are my awards kept.
Oh, come on. You're not a little old person.
You know, I'm not in my 30s or 40s, you know. You know,
neither am I.
That's why nothing is going to get to our heads, you see. And ask me where my awards are kept. People thought I was going to exhibit them. No, they're just put away in my closet. That's all. Because, you know, it's an award. I'm glad they recognize me. And, you know, you just cannot stay on your past laurels. You have to move on and do other things in life.
Yeah, do not put the awards in your closet. Put them on your mantles. So when people come, you know.
Because I don't want to be reminded of my laurels all the time. No, I want to think ahead and think how I can bring change to the world and how I can make a difference in people's lives. So this month, I mean, I was there all month of January in India. But this month, I managed to attend two wonderful events. I mean, they're not wonderful, they're sad, but it was an experience for me. The first one was the City of Refuge in Atlanta. It was a fundraising dinner conference that I attended with some friends of mine. And it was held by a nonprofit organization called City of Refuge. And what they do is they rescue children from trafficking and rehabilitate them in a safe environment. And so after the dinner, then we went around the premises and we saw so many rooms, dozens of rooms. They were, and such beautiful rooms. They were like hotel-like rooms. And one bathroom assigned to two rooms. So that means like two people could share one bathroom. But oh my gosh, it was like a hotel-type environment. But you see, people have, the children have gone through such trauma of being trafficked for so many years.
And
they bring them to a loving and safe environment. And they also help older women, like young women and older women, and empower them with livelihood skills, and so that they do not fall victim to the streets again. That was a great event that I attended. Go ahead.
That's one of the things I'm trying to help to eradicate, is sex trafficking, domestic violence. I'm on the air almost every day talking about it, speaking about it. I'm writing about it. I don't know how much of an impact I'm going to make, you know, out there. You have to try to get other people on board with you, because you know what, Jaya, I see this every day, all the time. I see domestic violence. I see it right out here sometimes when I'm just walking to the store or something, or I see young ladies. But you know what? I'm in Chicago, but I'm living in the nicer part of town. And I still see it.
Yeah.
You know, and I see the abusers who are doing the domestic violence. But you know, I don't try to confront them, but I try to get the word out about it, so people can know about it. Because I grew up with domestic violence. I grew up seeing it happening to my relatives, my friends, and it's sad.
And you know what? I live in Atlanta, but I went a place that I visited was in the poorest and most crime-ridden areas of the nation. So there's a certain sector, a certain zip code where all these crimes occur, you know, kidnapping children, murders and all that. So that's where we went. And then there was a director from the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation who was also present, and he gave a speech, and he provided some statistics and cases of traffickers and online predators from all walks of life who are involved in modern days. And what he said, that there is a heavy trafficking corridor between Tennessee and Georgia over here, and where I live in the state of Georgia. And so, and that young boys are trafficked as frequently as the girls. And what he has been doing is sending out warnings to all the child abusers that wherever you are, we will find you and jail you.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So he's got some of them behind bars, and he said he's got high-powered attorneys behind bars, even a NASA director. So it's
wow.
Like people,
that's
very,
interesting.
Very rich and powerful, and you know, and powerful people in high places, and they are behind bars. So it's not just the you know, people off the street who are doing it. Some, but very powerful people are behind bars. So another place that I went to visit the following week, which was last week, and that was in the state of Georgia, but I attended the Georgia Diagnostic and Classification Prison.
Okay. Oh. Jaya, your phone, you were dropped. Jaya, are you still there? Let's see.
So welcome to the Labor Forum today. We have two guests in the studio. We're really excited about this interview because we've been talking about low-wage workers here on WRFG's Labor Forum for many, many months.
Okay, seemed like we lost Jaya. I'm pretty sure she's going to call back.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
Hello?
Jaya?
Yes, I'm here. I don't know how we got
connected. Yeah, what happened?
I don't know. Suddenly we were off the line. But I was telling you about this place.
Yeah, something happened on my screen, said the call has been dropped. I'm wondering.
Yeah,
go right
I don't
ahead.
Know what happened, and I was just continuing to tell you about it.
Neither do
so
I.
I had gone to a vigil of a prisoner who was on death row, and he was to be executed that night. So I went with my group of friends, with a few of them from, you know, from the city of refuge that we visited, and a couple of others. And so what it was is there was this guy by the name of Travis Hitson, and he was a Navy crewman and who was on death row, and he was there for the April 1992 gruesome murder of his fellow sailor. And he had, well, let me read out a quote from the newspaper. According to court records, Hitson's lead petty officer, Edward Walmer, told Hitson to kill Atterback, who was 20 years old, on the pretense that Atterback was planning to kill them. So what happened is the two men killed Atterback and dismembered his body, and then which they buried in two
states
between Georgia and Florida, so that to get rid of the evidence. So he was on death row, and you know, I had gone with some Catholic friends of mine who
sounds like a movie.
Yeah, but you know, the Catholics believe in preserving life from womb to tomb. So we went, and I just thought, like, you know, I mean, just because somebody kills somebody, that doesn't mean the state has to stoop down to the same level and also kill this person. So in other words, the state is guilty of the same murder that the other person had committed. So we went and attended this, the vigil, and we were waiting to hear the person who was being put to death, Travis Hitson. His sister had come along, and she sat with us in the group, and there was about 50, 60 of us, you know. And that was to send a message to the state to get rid of death penalty, and I'm sure next time there'll be many more. Mm-hmm. We met some more people at the chancery, and they joined us. We got onto a bus, and then some other people had come from elsewhere, and that's how it was. But so what happened is we were reading out names, you know, during his friends were there also, and they were talking about his life and telling that he was really a kind and caring individual. But that day he was persuaded by his friend who was his elder, you know. And so anyway, and then what happened is while we were waiting to receive word whether the Supreme Court was going to pardon him or not, because Georgia State Board of Pardons and Paroles had denied his appeal, Hitson's appeal. So the case had gone to the Supreme Court. So we're waiting to hear from the Supreme Court. And finally, we left, you know, around 8 o'clock. It was like a few minutes past 8, and we left. And then on the bus,
the United States Supreme Court?
No, not U.S. Supreme Court, Georgia Supreme Court.
Okay.
So we got on the bus, and a few minutes after we got on the bus, then we heard received a call that he had been executed. And so we felt so sad, you know, like we were saying prayers for him and for his family. So this was to bring attention to, you know, to the death penalty, capital punishment issue. But total number of executions since 1976 in the U.S., since the death penalty was reinstituted, is 1,429. Okay, since 1976. And as of October 1st, 2015, the total number of death row inmates in the U.S. who are awaiting execution is 2,959. So almost 3,000 people are still waiting to be executed. And I wrote my thoughts on this and a brief write-up and posted it on Facebook too, you know, because I think it's so inhumane, you know, to kill somebody else.
It is. It is inhumane, and I think something should be done. And I think with your voice and my voice, maybe we can get some changes going around here somewhere.
You know, in Europe and Canada, much of Europe, the EU countries and Canada, it has been banned. And I posted this posting on Facebook, and I asked people from all over the world, some representatives all over the world, some friends of mine, to ask, do you have death penalty in your country? I got so many responses back, and they tell me where they have it, where they don't, when they got rid of it, and how they did it. So it has been such a productive discussion, and I plan to have many more discussions like that, you know, on Facebook.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. Jaya, can you tell us something about your writings, your books, your poetry?
Well, I have selected anything from all my three books. What do you want to hear? From To India with Tough Love, sent my memoir Scent of Yesterday, or some poetry from Garden of Life?
Well, I'm on your website. I believe it's called the, let me see, One Writer's Journey.
They're all One Writer's Journey, I think.
That's they are. Okay, Garden of Life.
Is it? Yeah, Garden of Life? Okay. So let me...
Jaya? Jaya done hung up again. She's gone again. All right. It's on her side. It's on her side. All right. We're waiting for Jaya to call back. While we're waiting, we're going to do this. All right. Jaya Kamlini on the George Wilder Jr. Show. She should be right calling right back. Oh, wow. She's a beautiful lady. And I'm just enjoying, I'm just enthralled at some of the things she's telling me. I'm learning as I go along on the show. She is back. She's back.
Yeah,
Jaya,
you know what,
you're back.
Yes, I think I hit some key, perhaps by mistake, as I was my book. I'm going to put you on the speaker phone, so this way I accidentally don't touch any button and I'm reading from my books, okay?
That's right. Okay. That's okay. All right.
This poem, let me know if you can hear me or not, okay?
This poem I can hear you.
Okay. The poem is called Divine Scale. Dark clouds hovered and lightning struck over a villa in Tuscany, where a pompous heir lay in bed. Afraid to go into the dark, he rambled on, pleaded with the heavens for another year. The earth trembled, the dark sky roared, a graybearded face appeared, a distant voice whispered, "Son, you have squandered all your years, hobnobbed with the rich, indulged in women and wine, stolen from the weak, scorned the poor, blinded by wealth and power, you have lost your way. You ask not for mercy, but another year? A year cannot erase all your wanton days." The heir implored he would make amends, go to church on Sundays, do penance. He swore to give up woman and wine, donate his money and time, but to no avail. He lay there, gazing in the distance. Soon the color left his face. His voice faded. The man in the clouds disappeared. The air breathed his last. The curtain fell. I'll read you another poem, and it's titled Love and Kitchen, and this is based on the recession, the great recession that we had in the U.S. In 2008-2009.
Okay, go right ahead.
She worked as a clerk at the store, came home, did household chores. During recession, store shut down. She looked for work in every town. Knocked on many doors for a job. When car broke down, she did sob. Then she took the bus everywhere, as she could not afford the repair. Husband worked at the local factory, moonlighted for a bit extra money, barely made enough to scrape by. Lunch was ham and cheese on rye. Then one day all hell broke loose. He came home, gulped some juice, spilled the cream juice with a frown. "Honey, my factory is shutting down." Life was soup kitchen, food stamps, thrift shops, coupons, and oil lamps. 6 years gone by, she bore no breed. No money to raise a child and feed. Jobs scarce, purse strings stretched. A year later, their home repossessed. They moved in with her old mother. Then he learned he had lung cancer. No jobs, no funny stories to share. Besides church, ventured nowhere. She baked quiches and apple tarts for bakeries and local food marts. He took on odd jobs as handyman, did all he could as a proud man. To his wife, a vacation he pledged. One morning, he lay cold in his bed. Great Recession left lasting scars. The rich fared well under the stars. Oligarchy is still the favorite game, played by big boys without shame.
Sounds great. That was beautiful.
Thank you. This one
that
is
That was
hungry.
Beautiful.
Yeah. This
what
one
is the... go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. What is the secret of writing good poetry? I've always wanted to write poetry, but I was never a good poet. What do you think is this dying secret that could make a person like me who've never written poetry want to write it?
You have to try to fit into the shoes of somebody else, to feel the pain. Mm-hmm. And if you've gone through some pain in your life, you can relate to it. Just put yourself back to your painful days and the hungry days. And just think of what life was like. And then start to, you know, write poetry, but then put somebody else in that poem. And then you read some news, you read something here. This one, I'm going to read Hungry in New York City. Part one is about my personal experience. Part two is what it is like today. Part one is was in 1969 when I had come to America. You can hear me well, right, on the speakerphone?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. So part one is my personal experience. It happened one afternoon long ago at the Port Authority bus concourse. A middle-aged man with a stubble in an old winter coat, ragged pants, prematurely bent, carrying a knapsack, walked over to a garbage receptacle, muttering to himself. He rummaged through the trash, stumbled upon half a bagel, brushed it and took a bite, while I watched him, tongue-tied. Here I was in the world's richest city. There in front of me was a grown man looking for morsels in a trash can. I approached the big man.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah. I approached the big man, asked if he was hungry. He gave me a sheepish nod. So how about a hamburger and shake? We walked into a hamburger joint. Vanilla shake, please, ma'am. Minutes later, I returned, carrying a shake and paper bag with hamburger and fries. Thanks, lady, he said, then took a bite. Enjoy your lunch, I said, and left. Before I read the second part, which is what it is like today in New York City, I want to tell you, I had not much money. I had probably just a couple of dollars, you know, about $3-4 in my purse.
Yeah.
But I had just come from India, so there was not much, you know, I carried besides my bus fare and all that.
Uh-huh.
But what it is, when those who have less always give. They always want to share with others because they feel their hunger and pain. And you look at the very rich people, they will not part with a dollar of theirs. This is what I have noticed very often. Okay, now part today, this is about New York City. Today, city teeming with millionaires, a city influenced by foreign money, a city sold out to the highest bidder, a city so filthy rich, yet so filthy poor. It's a tale of two cities everywhere, greed and corruption at every bend. This is not how life was meant to be. Is this what we call democracy?
Yes.
Isn't it time to stop and ask ourselves how the wealthy came into such riches? How many toes have they stepped upon? How many have they cheated or bribed? It reminds me of the three monkeys who shut their mouths and eyes and ears to all the injustice they see around them, to all the hunger, poverty, and crime. That's That's it. You wanted to read
beautiful.
It?
Beautiful.
Let me know if you want to read it.
Jay.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I have a question, probably. I have a question there. How would you, with all your work, with all your positive work, with all your advocacy, how would you like to be remembered?
As somebody who is kind, compassionate, and caring. And somebody who didn't care about money.
Okay.
I care for people, not money.
Okay. All right, everybody, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Author Jaya Camilleri on the George Wilder Show. She's magnificent. Jaya, where can people go pick up your book, your books?
They can look me up on Amazon.com under Jaya, under my name, Jaya, J-A-Y-A, last name, Kamlani, K-A-M-L-A-N-I. Just type in my name on Amazon.com, and it'll show my author page with three books and a little bio on me.
So oh, wow.
One of the books.
I'm pretty sure they're going to go out and pick a book. I mean, you're great. I mean, your poetry is, it's unorthodox. You know what I'm saying? And is there anything you would like to say that you haven't said already that you want to know?
I want people out there to come out in droves and do something for their communities, because I think communities have been forgotten. It's become a much more doggy-dog world, and I think we have to slow down a bit and reflect on our lives. As I wrote my memoir, I had to reflect on my life, what life was all about, and what do I want to do with my life going forward. And I had done a lot. I had worked in the advertising field in New York as a media analyst and planner. Then for 20 years, I worked in the information technology field in Silicon Valley. And so I had accomplished much more than I thought I would, because I am from India. When I was growing up there, you know, the parents just wanted to get you married after a college degree. College degree means you'll get a nice boy, you know, an arranged marriage. But you know, when I'm so lucky that I got a chance to come to America and actually find my own strengths, which I didn't know I had before. But you just have to keep on taking one day at a time and striving real, real hard, and forget about the naysayers. There'll always be naysayers telling you, you cannot do this, you cannot do that.
Of course.
And those are distractions, you know, like you're driving on the road and you see accidents by the side. You don't look towards that side. So you just stay on your goal, your path, and just keep doing what you think is right. And the important thing is to do what is right.
Exactly. Okay, this particular show, once it's over with, it's going to be broadcasted and downloaded. And it's going to be archived. Would you like a copy or a link of the show?
Yes. Could you please send me the link? I would appreciate it.
No problem at all.
Thank you
Jaya,
so much,
thank
George,
you for being
having me over for the third time.
Thank you for being on the show. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Jaya Camilleri for the George Wilder Jr. Show. You will be right back with me. Oh, wait. Okay, we're having problems.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
thanks to Jaya Camellini for being on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I mean, she's beautiful. She's wonderful. Check out her website. Check out her books. And check out just about everything she posts on Facebook and on other social networking sites. It's all interesting. She's a wonderful lady. I'm proud to say that she's my friend. All right, but we have to move on. We just have to move on. We got about 30 more minutes into the show or less. Okay, it's something here about Donald Trump. I can't stand this. I'm quoting this guy, and this is really, really something. He's saying, I can stand in the front of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose voters. This is some of the mess, the rhetoric that comes out of this guy's mouth. And this was said about a few months ago, but very recently, Trump said something to the fact that he could leave the podium from where he's speaking to a crowd of his supporters and jump out and punch somebody in the face. This is Trump. Why do people think that's worthy of someone to be president of the United States? Trump is a blowhard. Trump is a bully. But somehow, like I said at the beginning of the show, I believe Trump will do – I'll trust Trump over Ted Cruz. Excuse me. Over Ted Cruz anytime. Anytime. But I would never vote for Donald Trump. I'd vote for Hillary before. I'd vote for Hillary Clinton before I vote for Donald Trump. Okay, so right now we've just got through talking to Jaya Camellini. We're talking about things in the news and opinion and commentary on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, we're going to take another break right here. All righty, we're going to talk about some things and then some things we're not going to say too much about because this is Black History Month. What can I say? We're still in Black History Month, and I want to share this piece of speech from Martin Luther King, his last speech before he was assassinated. He was gunned down at the Lorraine Hotel in 1968. This is one of his last speeches. If you listen to his last speech, it would seem like he knew death was coming. He knew that he was about to be shot dead because it had been told to him by his wife, his supporters, the people who hung around him, but, you know, he carried on anyway. And this sounds like it. This speech, he's a great speaker, as we all know. And he sounded like he knew what was coming. He knew what was ahead, his assassination. Okay, here's Martin Luther King. Is a little bit.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over that. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
All right, that was basically his last speech before he was assassinated, and that's a damn shame. You know, we lost a great person in Martin Luther King, and for the sake of Black History Month, I played that clip because Black History Month is just about over, and you got some people out there that's criticizing, saying that there should not be a Black History Month, and this is coming from African Americans. They ought to be ashamed of themselves, you know. But I look at it this way, you know. I mean, I'm glad there's a Black History Month. There's a Hispanic Month, and there's all, you know. So I don't listen to a lot of those people who are mobbing off saying crazy things like the Republicans. All right, they're saying here that Donald Trump is on course to win enough delegates for the nomination. And that's true. That is true. I do think Donald Trump is going to win tonight. He's going to win. And the Republicans, they are throwing in so much money to stop Donald Trump, and they're not stopping him. This guy's got so much momentum. It's crazy. He's got a lot of momentum, and he's going to win the nomination. He's going to get the delegates. The Republicans are pissed off. They're, like I said before, they're pumping so much money into the Republican Party against Donald Trump. Because I do feel that if Donald Trump wins the nomination, it's the end of the Republican Party. It's the end of the Republican Party. You have to remember, Donald Trump used to be a Democrat, a full-fledged Democrat. I don't know what made him change, made him go over to the other side. But I can tell you this, the other side doesn't want him. The Republicans doesn't want him. They are doing everything they can. The thing what they don't like about Donald Trump is that Donald Trump, I'm not going to vote for him, okay? Donald Trump is independent. Donald Trump does not need their money as the other candidates on stage do. They need the money. Donald Trump has his own money. They need money from donors, corporations, Wall Street, blah, 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 blah. They need the money in order to stay in the race. But they can't stay in the race if their poll numbers aren't, you know, in the at least in the double digits. I don't know why Ben Carson is still in the race. A lot of us are scratching our heads. Why is this guy still in the race? You know, I said the reason why he's still in the race, he wants more name recognition, notoriety. You know, I mean, he's a retired neurosurgeon. He's retired. But after this is over, and he surely will not be the nominee, but after this is over, Ben Carson can write books. He's going to make money that way. He can lie all he wants to in those books. He can go to colleges and universities, charge what he wants for speaking fees. This is what it's all about. Get on television, go on television, Tonight Show, and all this kind of thing, Ellen and Steve Harvey shows. This is what's going to happen with Ben Carson. He's going to be a public figure. Maybe he may even land a job on Fox News. Who knows? But he's not going to go away. The man loves the limelight. There's no doubt about it, especially when he's losing. He loves the limelight. But back to Donald Trump. The guy is going to win the Republican nomination, and the Republicans are going nuts over that. They are going batty over that. They do not want that. He is on course to win enough delegates. If he wins tonight and the following nights, he is unstoppable. The other candidates up on that stage are just wasting their time. Donald Trump has got this. They are going to have to realize that. The man has got this. You know, he's a buffoon. He's a crazy person. He says anything. He jumps on anybody who disagrees with him, you know, because they were saying something about the Ricketts family who own the Cubs in the city of Chicago, the Ricketts family. And the Ricketts family, they didn't deny this, that they were pumping in money to a certain organization to work against Donald Trump. They're not the only ones doing that. It's a lot of Republican groups, people, for that matter, pumping money into agencies or other people against Donald Trump. Against Donald Trump. And he knows it. Every time Donald Trump gets on that stage, it's not for Donald Trump. They want to see Donald Trump fall on his face, and Donald Trump hasn't fell on his face yet. He almost did a few times, but he has not yet. He's got these. And another thing that I feel that Donald Trump's appeal is to some of his supporters, some of them are nuts and crazy, but some of his appeal is that he's an outsider. He's not being bought off like so many other people are in Congress, Republicans who are in Congress being bought and paid off. I mean, you have these organizations like the NRA, Wall Street Corporation, the big banks, donors, lobbyists, paying off, buying these politicians. Instead of these politicians in Washington representing you and me, they are representing Wall Street. They're representing big business. They're representing multi-billion dollar corporations. They're not representing you and me. You or me, when we are the taxpayers, we are the one who put their asses in office. We voted for them. Speaking of votes, folks, speaking of voting, please get out there and vote. It seems like during these caucuses, Super Tuesday and all of this kind of thing that's going on with these candidates, people are energized to vote, whether it's Republican or Democrat. People are energized and they're voting. They are getting their asses up. They see the country going down the damn tubes. Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you see something definitely wrong with the country. And you know that you cannot change this by sitting on the couch watching TV getting fat. I'm not saying everybody is doing that, but it's happening. Or being lazy. And I always tell people, stop sitting around waiting for someone else to do these things for you. You get out there and you do these things yourself. Do them yourself. Do not sit around waiting for people to act for you. Well, things are wrong. This is not right. Somebody will get out there. No, no, no. You get out there. They want to see your face. You become a part of your community. You help out in your community. You go to your national, local, or Democratic office and work to get out the vote. Go door to door to make sure everybody gets out to vote. Make sure that everybody who are old enough to vote, that they vote. All of this momentum from these caucuses that's happening everywhere should be no problem taking this momentum into November 2016. When you vote November 2016, do not only vote for a Democratic president. Vote for a Democratic senator. Vote for a Democratic House of Representatives. Then we can make some changes in this country. The Republicans get their hands on it, we're through. The country is done. Donald Trump is a joke among world leaders. He is a joke. Even the world leaders, they don't want to see him president of the United States. Donald Trump is a joke. They see him as a joke. And he is a joke. But like I said, I think Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio is a lot more dangerous than Donald Trump. And this is why they don't like Donald Trump. Donald Trump is too independent. He tells them like it is. He tells them like it is. Some of it's stupid. Some of it's bullying. Some of it's hogwash. But he tells it like it is. And sometimes it's the truth. Donald Trump tells it like it is. And sometimes the things he says is the truth. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Don't forget to download this show, podcast this show, listen to this show. Tell your friends about this show. This is a great show. All right, I will be right back. Stay with me, folks. Don't give it up. Don't, whatever you do, whatever you're doing, you love what you're doing, don't give up what you're doing. Just like Jaya said, do not give it up. If you love what you're doing, keep doing it. Just get those people who are not positive, who are not supportive, get those naysayers, those people who are trying to bring you down, belittle you, get them out of your life. Get them out of your life.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Yeah, you're here. You are here.
Each
All right. Welcome back to the show. We're just about off the air. All right. Welcome back to the show. We're just about off the air. They're trying to trash Peyton Manning, saying that in his younger days, he was a rapist. Well, that is something that they're saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just reading it here. Read the Crisis Center transcript from the night of Manning's alleged assault. So maybe we can talk about that in a coming show. We're just about off the air, folks. Let's see what we got. And what is saying here? El Chapo? Okay, Kalamazoo shooting suspect switched cars amid rampage. This guy, I mean, he was an Uber driver. What can you say? I will never get an Uber to drive me anywhere, an Uber driver, or get in an Uber car. It's just too many things wrong with the employees, the people who are driving those cars. Give me a cab, a taxi cab, okay? Or the subway. I'll trust those two entities to anything other than an Uber driver, you know. So there's too many things going on there. So Uber, I think, after this incident, and there's been too many other incidents, I think they're going to go under after this. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Thanks to my guest, Jaya Camilleni, on the George Wilder Jr. Show. She was beautiful. She was wonderful. Check out her website. Check out Amazon.page. Her books, Scent of a Woman, I believe, In the Garden. Check out those things. She was wonderful. And I will send her a link to the show. All right, everybody. If I can find it. All right, everybody. Goodbye, everybody. See you tomorrow. Someone just said 90 seconds. All right, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for being with me. Bye-bye.
Mine. That was Jaya's fault.